Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Praise you once again and tune to our View of Ability or Death Set to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show with your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, I am giving you good news once again that God is still blessing His worldwide ministry and it is steady growing. So we just give God the glory, honor, and praise for what He's doing through this worldwide ministry and platform, that He would be glorified through it all. We always open it with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pray with me. But before we go into prayer, I'm asking all new listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be sharing with us another inspirational poem first, and then he will deliver God's word. So you will most definitely need your Bible, a pen, and some paper so you can take notes. So we open up with prayer, and I'm asking all listeners, if you will please pray with me at this time, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because we know without a doubt, those of us that are truly saved in Jesus' name, we know without a doubt that you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have all power in heaven and in earth in your hands. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're not like man. You cannot lie, fail, nor change. You don't get amnesia. You are a promise keeper. For this, we're grateful. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. You've allowed us to wake up and sleep without hurt, harm, or danger. In the name of Jesus. We pray now, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer in Jesus' name all over the world, Heavenly Father, that are truly saved in Jesus' name, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. Even those of us that are saved in Jesus' name, we still falter, we still fail you, and we still sin. So we thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness and draws us back to you. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer in the name of Jesus that you move by your Spirit through Deacon Margaret Cox, through your word, through your Holy Spirit, that would touch the hearts and minds of those that may be tuned in on tonight that are spiritually blind, that have not accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, by opening their mouth and asking him to come into their hearts and save them. It's our prayer, hope, and desire that you would save them on tonight through your word, that they will be able to open their mouth and confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ to come in to their hearts and save them. And once they are saved in his name, they will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their God purpose on earth for your glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We know that we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it, but we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We lift up all those that have breathed on tonight. Heavenly Father, I just got a report on this evening of a basketball player that has lost seven members of his family due to the COVID coronavirus. So not only his family, but all those that are dealing with bereavement on tonight, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will comfort their hearts and strengthen them. Let them feel your peace, your joy, as only you can, Heavenly Father, even in the hour of bereavement. Let them know that you are their comforter, and you are their strength. Help them to see you, Heavenly Father, that as their keeper, no matter what's going on around them. Let them know that and remember that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, because we do know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders even on tonight, and it's all for your glory. So now, Lord, we pray that you would help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you will be glorified. I continue to lift up every listener that faithfully tunes into this ministry and broadcast, and especially for the new listeners on tonight. Continue to bless them. Continue to put in their hearts, Heavenly Father, that they will be able to tune in and continue to be faithful listeners. Not only that, but they would also share this worldwide ministry information to others so that others can tune in and be blessed by your word, that you be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we pray that you would have your way in us, through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as you lead and guide him through your Holy Spirit on tonight, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that you have called and anointed to stand on your word and preach your word and teach your word, who are faithful doers of teaching and preaching your word all over the land. Continue to bless them and anoint them and strengthen them, and they will continue to stand on your word and teach your word and preach your word as you give it to them through your Holy Spirit. I lift up my pastor and shepherd, Bishop James A. Jennings, and the entire Shield of Faith Church family. I also lift up Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. and his wife, Sister Jean Tillman, and the Morningstar Baptist Church and Morningstar Baptist Church family. Not only that, but I lift up my cousin, Pastor Norman King, his family, and the ministries you have placed them over at Victor's Outreach Ministries in Greensboro, North Carolina. And also Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dox, you have blessed her, Lord, that she opened the door for me to be able to share this worldwide ministry to others. Continue to bless her, her husband, Elder QT Dox, and the Kingdom Builders Ministry, Heavenly Father. Continue to bless them and grant them the desires of their hearts. And all those all over the land that are standing on your words and being faithful doers of your word, continue to strengthen us, that we can continue to be faithful and committed and dedicated to the call that you have anointed for us to be and to do in the earth for your glory, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another scripture food for thought, and it comes to us saying, trust God in the midst of your storm. Some people find that hard to do, but that's what it takes. You've got to have faith in God. So tonight's scripture food for thought comes to us saying, trust God. My sister, my brother, trust God in the midst of your storm. Because what? Guess what? He is still a promise keeper. He will do just what he said he would do. There's nothing too hard or impossible for our Heavenly Father to do if you just trust and believe by faith. So right now we're going to be getting ready to go out to our music break. And after the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. And then you're going to go directly into God's word. So I pray and ask that all listeners, please have your Bible ready and a pen and paper so you can take notes as we go through God's word together on tonight. Please enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord on tonight. I love that song, Cover Me, Lord. I thank God for his word that lets us know that once we're saved in Jesus' name, we're filled. Oh, my God, we're filled. Only God can fill us. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus still works even today, no matter what it looks like. there's power in the name of Jesus. Not only is there power in the name of Jesus, but there's power in the blood of Jesus. And that's why I said, thank God, it still works, and it will never lose its power. So before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox tonight, I am still thinking about what my sister told me on today when she was at my house about the basketball player that lost 7 members of his family. It's hard enough to deal with one member of your family, losing one member of your family, but to lose 7 members of your family due to the coronavirus, I don't even know what his name is, but God knows who he is. So I'm asking all the listeners, please lift this young man up in prayer. You know, you may not know his name, but God knows who he is. Not only him, but again, all those that have lost loved ones, not only due to but those that have lost loved ones for whatever reason, continue to lift them up in prayer, because that's what we are to do. We are to encourage one another in God's word, especially in the hour, in the time of bereavement, when we have lost loved ones. We need each other. That's what God's word said. The fervent prayers of the righteous still avail us much. To bring forth once again to the listening audience, Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Once again, Brother Brown, I thank the Lord for his services. I thank the Lord for this platform and this wonderful opportunity that is given to me. I also send up my prayers for not only for the situation that you just described, but for all the people that have lost loved ones due to this this situation that's going on. Now, we don't know when or where or why, but we know that God is still in control. Now, I'd like to read to you a poem that the Lord gave me that is pertaining to this exact situation. And he wants me to be up to date with the thing that's going on so that people will know, you know, use his principles, use his words, let people know that so that they could easily relate to what's going on. So they'd be able to say, well, that's happening now, because people were using the Bible as an excuse a long time ago as to why they shouldn't. Well, that was Moses, that was Joshua, that was Noah, that was Ruth, that was Esther, that was all the people in the Bible. But now he's bringing a new understanding to his people so that you can relate to that. And our poem for tonight is Quarantine. So what does the Bible say about quarantine? If you read Isaiah 26, chapter 20, verse, you will know what it means. It says, go into your chambers and hide, and stay there until the Lord's anger subside. Go into your homes and shut the door, and pray to the Lord like never before. If you think that it needs further inspection, a quarantine is designed for your own protection. Protect you from things that could do harm to you, and save you from things that the eyes cannot view. But we are so busy doing our own will, we pay no attention when the Lord says, be still. When the Lord is cleaning the house, there's nothing you can say. Just be fearful of getting in the way. He told you to hide in a safe place and preserve your soul through his amazing grace. Lord, I have followed you thus far, but what if I lose my house, my job, my car? Nothing is more valuable than your life and your soul. Turn it over to him that has full control. It is better for you to go through a little toil and strife than for your disobedience to cause you to lose your life. We are in the midst of a storm which this world has never seen. Until the Lord said, it's okay, please stay quarantined. Now, our lesson tonight, I'll be reading and coming to you from the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and I'll be reading to you from the 14th down through the 21st verse. And it reads, "They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited, destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. We poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as to a woman with child that draweth near, the time of her delivery is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not brought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise, awake and sing. Ye shall dwell in dust, for thou dew is in the dew of herbs, and that earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, that thy doors, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as if it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. For their iniquity the earth shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." I just read it to you from the book, King James Version of the Bible, Isaiah 26, chapter, verses 14 through 21. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word, and his will. Now, the thought that the Lord is bringing forth tonight is concerning the 20 and the 20th verse. And our thought for tonight is shelter in place. And a secondary question to that is, what are you hiding from? What are you hiding from? Now, Isaiah just let us know that with all the things that's going on in our life, and see, that's a familiar phrase right there, shelter in place. And the preceding poem was also letting us know that we were instructed to go and hide. We were instructed to withdraw ourselves from the public places. We were instructed to withdraw ourselves from family and from friends and from outside activities, and to go in our shelters and hide until the indignation, and see, the indignation is the wrath of God. And see, let me tell you something about quarantine. See, quarantine is designed for certain things, but mostly it's designed to protect people from themselves and to protect others from them, to protect us from others and to protect others from us. But as I studied the Bible and as I began to look upon the contents of the Bible, I found out one thing that God does. Whenever he's about to move upon anybody, any land, any place, he does something that is particularly beneficial to his children. He instructs them to hide. He moves them out of the way. He puts them up under PC. He puts them up under protective custody. He tells them to go to a safe place. Now, if you think about it, with all the horror movies that has been on TV or all the drama or whatever, one thing that most parents do in time of trouble, they will tell their children, they will tell their children to go hide, or they will put their children safely in a closet and tell their children, stay here. I don't care what you hear going on out there. You stay here till I come and open back. Because no one knows that you're here. And this is what God is telling you. Say, go into those secret chambers and hide. Hide yourself. Shelter. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds just like a quarantine. It said, unto his wrath. And if you notice, when the wrath of a parent comes down, those children that the wrath is not directed to, they will go and they will hide in the corner and pray to God that their wrath doesn't fall upon them. So God is moving you and moving us and moving we out of the way, because it says that his anger, his wrath, has the past. Now, we can speculate all day and all night why the Lord is his anger. Say, be ye sinned, angered, but sin not. But it's because disobedience that God's wrath is coming down. And we say that it could be directed at this person or it could be directed at that person. One thing I want to tell you about God and about discipline and about disobedience. Normally, whenever we are punished for something, it's because of an accumulation of infractions against us. It's because we have repeatedly done the same thing over and over and over again, and we have been warned about these things. So the Word of God is telling you to shelter in place. And as I said, what are you hiding from? In this particular case, what are we hiding from? We're hiding from the wrath of God. Nobody wants to get out there in that storm. And if you notice, during the storm sometimes is particular about who it destroys. I've seen storms and tornadoes and hurricanes where it destroyed everything. But if you, after the water subside or after the wind ceased to blow, if you look, you'll see a tree or a house or a mobile home or something like that that has not even been disturbed by that particular wrath. Now, this is how God is going to do us. He said, I want you to go and hide. Go into your secret chambers and see when you begin to hide and see, because when you hide, then that means that you're not seen or you're trying to conceal something. Now, instances in the Bible where the question was asked earlier, the subtopic, what are you hiding from? Now, if we go back to the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, and God asked Adam, he said, where are you? And Adam responded, said, I'm here. Now, God knew where he was, but see, he wanted to verbalize and say, well, what? You know, what you doing? He said, I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because what you gave me, what you told me not to do, I did. And his eyes became open. And he began to realize that he had done wrong. If you notice, when people do wrong to you, they try their best to avoid you. So sometimes when we hide to avoid certain things in our life. We hide to avoid facing the truth. But see, in this particular case, we were instructed to hide, to go in there and hide, to out of God's way. And see, this is what we got to do. We had to remove ourselves out of the way of God, out of the way of his wrath, and to his indignation. As I say, indignation is a form of wrath. It's a form of anger. To his anger subsides. So we have to shelter in place wherever that may be. You see, God is a good place to hide in. Okay, we're going to escalate and move up further to Noah. Noah and his family were what? They were quarantined on the ship, on the ark, rather. And they were quarantined because they were placed up under the protection of God. In the process of them being placed up under the protection of God, no matter how violent the activities were outside of that ark, they were safe on inside. No matter how the scent was from all of those animals, all of those species, that they still were safe on inside. And see, sometimes, and the reason I mention it like that, because see, now that some of us are quarantined with our spouses and our children and everything, some of us realize that our brother, our sister, got a funky attitude. It's a stench coming from the way that they acting. But guess what? We're quarantined. We're in a safe place. And see, this is why people are protesting now and trying to get away from that, because they cannot cope with just a little inconvenience. Mm-hmm. If I'm safe on the inside and there's a storm or tornado, something going on, then what's happening on the outside, if all of these things is going on, but then on the inside, then something is irritating my nose, I should not allow that to force me on the outside what the danger is. Because it did not say that on the inside that it wasn't going to be uncomfortable. On the inside, we're not going to be able to get, or we will not get upon each other's nerves. So my brothers and my sisters, this quarantine that we're talking about, this shelter in place, we have been given instructions that now is the time for us to go inside. Go in there and hide. Go in there and shelter yourself. Shelter in place until this anger, until this indignation will pass. And why? If you read the whole chapter of Isaiah, the 26th chapter, you'll find out because of the disobedience. And the poem was telling us that sometimes we had to be shielded from things we see, and other times we have to be shielded from things that we cannot see. We have to be shielded from germs, see, because most germs are microscopic and they enter into the body. That's why they're telling us to wear these masks, to wear that personal protection equipment. Why? Because these are things that these intruders. If you notice, if anybody had a problem with mice or anything like that, you know, the littlest crack that somebody can infiltrate, that's where they come in at. If you notice, when you get a cold or whatever, it's microscopic. You can shake somebody's hand, and then the next thing you know, you're coughing and sneezing and wheezing. So God is going to protect us from these things. That's why we basically have to have a controlled environment. We have to be able to know and look and understand that God put me here for a reason. And reason why a lot of times when we go to the house of prayer, we withdraw from the house of prayer, where we quarantine from the world. And we go out there into the world. Why? Because we don't like the color of the pastor's suit. We don't like the way he wears his hat. We don't like the big hat that the first lady wears. We pick the smallest little thing to violate that quarantine, to go out there and place ourselves in harm's way. Because I guarantee you, the color of that pastor's suit, the size of his wife's hat, is not essential to our salvation. It's not essential to us being in a better place. And there's a lot of times, you know, we complain about being confined to a certain area, being restricted to certain things, but okay, it's death out there. It's destruction out there. It's things that's going to make me lose my soul out there. And the Lord just asked me just for a little while, just to be still, just to stay put, just to go in my secret chambers. And see, the best place in the world to hide is in the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Because, see, you hide where no one can find you. No one could reach you. Because what it says, those who I have in my hand, no man can pluck them out. So I don't care how much the world tried to withdraw you or pry you or get a crowbar or as it is now to entice you to come out of your quarantine. I was looking at the news the other day and in New York, they're protesting. And the reason why they're protesting is because they're shutting down the bars. Why? Because a lot of people are coming there without a mask on. A lot of people are not practicing that safe social distancing. Now, quarantine, is that not a social distancing? Yes, it is. It's separating you and putting you away from those things, from those, how they say, those super spreader events. But see, God is moving, and he's moving in a way in which we have to be extra careful. Now, we go to Psalms 27:5. It says, for in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on the rock. And we know that at that time, King David, who was the author of most of the Psalms, he was talking about the Lord, saying, he will conceal me. And when you conceal something, it's hid from other people's view. It's hid from sight. Only a certain person knows that it's there. And that one person is God. And see, he's not, he said, he will conceal, and then this particular point, not reveal. And see, that's a big difference because when you conceal something, you're hiding it. But when you reveal it, you're exposing it to everything. You're making a revelation. But see, there's certain times when, as I said, when the Lord is moving, when he has told us and warned us repeatedly, I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing that. Stay away from this. Stay away from that. That's no good for you. Leave that alone. He told, I believe it was in Jeremiah, say, leave them alone. Don't have no kid by them. Don't laugh at their filthy jokes. Don't just leave them alone. Why? Because men would do things to allow you or try to entice you to withdraw away from God. It will put these evil thoughts on your mind. But see, God wants you to, wants us. I don't want to make no mistake about that. Because see, when I say you, then I'm excluding myself. But he wants all of us to be in that safe place. He wants us to hide and find refuge in him. He wants us to be able to, in our times of trouble, to send up, not no email, but to send up some knee mail, to pray to him, to let him know that it's time and that we are constantly uplifting his name. We are constantly thinking about him. We are constantly doing and being obedient to his will. Now we're going to go over to Psalm 64:2. It says, hide me from the secret courts of evildoers. You think that people, you think that evil one is going to give you advance notification that he's about to take you under? No. The secret council. So there is a conspiracy going on as we speak of evildoers. They're counseling now. And sometimes that leak might get out that to watch out. But the word is saying, hide me from that secret council. And see, we don't know who consists of that evil council. From the tumult of those who do iniquity. And see, we know that this is those that have conspired to do and go against God's will. Okay, Job 13:14-13 said, oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath returns to you, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. And see, that limit is, don't mix with these people right now. Don't go out there and allow this microscopic sin, because sin is sin. Don't allow that to overtake you. Don't allow that to distract you. Don't allow that to be disobedient. So what we got to do, we got to be able to move ourselves out of the way. That's all the word is asking this evening. Quarantine, shelter in place. And see, if you notice, the majority of these things and the majority of these situations were happening right in the home. Now, there was a saying out a long time ago, there's no place like home. There is no place like home. And God is constantly instructing us to go there, to stay there. Because there are some times when, if you notice, when they have a tornado and or a storm warning, and you're out there on the freeway, and you can see the storm coming in the distance, you know that you can't outrun that storm. But then they tell you to get out of your car, find yourself a viaduct, and go right up under the viaduct where the cement almost reaches the bottom of the viaduct. And that's the safest place. That's a quarantine. But see, we're not paying no attention to it. And God's word is say, be still and know that I'm God. Because see, when you're still and when you're quiet, then something can grab your complete attention. But if you're distracted, you could talk to someone that's distracted and ask them a little while later, what was I saying to you? And they couldn't tell you to save their life what the conversation was about. They couldn't tell you that, well, you talked about this and you talked about that. Why? Because they were distracted. I know in our church, what we would do when the man or woman of God would come forth, we'd always tell them, give them your undivided attention. Mm-hmm. Even in the prayer line, if you're not concentrating just like those swine that beg the Lord, why you torment us? And so he commanded those swines to come out of, those spirits to come out of the swines, and they ran violently down the hill and they drowned themselves. But don't you know when the pastor is praying that those demons are looking for a new home? When he gives them that holy eviction notice and he tells them, look, you can't occupy this body no longer. They scout. They're looking for that unoccupied mind to go into. And then we wonder to ourselves, that's why we try to keep the children as still as possible when the prayer is going forth, especially when the prayer is going forth to take an illness away, because that illness is going someplace else. I mean, have you ever been in the house of prayer and the pastor was praying? Next thing you know, it seems like you got somebody else's cold. Why? Because at the time that cold, and they tell you, excuse me, oh, I feel better instantly. But during that time that cold was leaving that body, then it had to find someplace to go to. That's why it's vitally important that we concentrate, not go into quarantine, pray, not go into quarantine and become occupied with something else, but go in there and concentrate. Now, I know most of our mothers have told us that during the time of the storm, you better find yourself dust yourself someplace to sit and let God do his handiwork. So that's a time to be still. That's a time to be receptive and rejoice in the magnificence and the awesomeness of God. And behold, because see, that quarantine is just like a cocoon. And what it's doing is all the people that were quarantined, all the people that were separated from God, guess what? I got good news for you. He was preparing them just like he's preparing us for something bigger and something better. But are we willing to stay there? Are we willing to stay sheltered in place? Or is the lust of the flesh so overpowering that we're going to yield to it? Well, I think not. I hope not. I'll put it this way, I can't, because I cannot think for you. But I hope not. I hope that we do not yield to the temptation of the flesh, because people are going against the government. And those few wise governors that's out there that sees what's going on, those God-fearing people that have the concern of the people and recommending this. But other people, I mean, can you imagine I'm protesting at a bar because I want to get in there and party? I'm saying to myself, I'm not going to wear a mask, but it seems like it would be common sense that even if this thing is a hoax, the chance to infect somebody or to be infected, when all I got to do is possibly cover my face. So this quarantine that God has imposed, that Isaiah was speaking about, is because God is angry. And his wrath, well, we can't even describe his wrath. We've seen some of his wrath, but just imagine Babylon. When he got so angry at Babylon, he reached down to the core of the earth and pulled Babylon up by the roots, never to be seen, not to be heard of again, but never be seen again. No sign. You could go over to Iraq and they could tell you, well, it might have been here or it might have been there. Most other historical places, you could go and it's landmarks there. Go to Egypt and you got the pyramids there. You could go this place and go to New York or Grand Canyon and you got the falls there. You got some type of landmark there to indicate to you that that place once was there. Even if you go to your old neighborhood, you might have a few houses on that block that says so-and-so used to live here. But can you imagine the wrath of God when Babylon got to misbehaving and wouldn't do the things that he asked her to do? And he ripped it up out the ground. Never to be, as I said, never to be seen again, only in history books. So this quarantine is a powerful thing. But we have got so preoccupied, as I say, with the agenda of the flesh. I said this a couple of weeks ago. It's no reason why those of us who are in the Lord shouldn't be biblical scholars by now. It's no reason why we should not be able to thumb through our Bible, even if we just pick it up and read a chapter or two a day. It's been since March, so that's like 9 months that we had that opportunity to read the Bible, to consume the Bible, to eat the words out of the Bible, to let the words of the Bible marinate in our hearts, to find out what's going on. And this is this is kind of funny when you think about it. God loves us so much. In that 26th chapter, 20th verse, guess what he did? He protected us from himself.
Mm-hmm.
He protected us from himself, because you know how sometimes a parent gets so angry at the children, they just say, look, you just better get on out of my face right now, because I don't even know what I'm capable of doing to you in this state of mind that I'm in. But I'm going to punish these. I'm going to punish these that's doing wrong. But I just, baby, I love you so much, I don't want you to get in the way. Could you imagine God saying that to us? Look, for the wrong that they've done, because I promised them, and I'm not going to lie, that the wages of sin is death. And there's payday for a lot of these people. But please, you stay yourself out of the way, because the residue of my wrath just might fall down on you. But if I know you here and I know you're out the way, then I could mete out the proper punishment. So this quarantine, this sheltering in place, and what are you running from, Steve? I spoke about Adam and Eve. What were they doing? They were running from the truth. Speak about other people, they were running for their life. But God told us in Isaiah, to stay put. I know where you're at. And by me knowing where you're at, and if you go back to the children of Israel, children of Egypt, when God put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, see, that allowed him to know who was who. When those plagues began to come down upon the people. But if you did not have that, then that means that you did not recognize God as who he was. So if I give you a command or give you an order to do something and you're disobedient, guess what? You're just as guilty as everybody else. Say, Lord, you know, preacher, this is a special message for you. So that it won't be on your head, because, see, it ain't nothing you can do, but the only thing you can do is tell them. And when it comes down to that, Lord, I told them. I can't make them, but I told them. And that's the job, because, see, we try to be like Jonah in so many situations. We try to be like Jonah and stick around for the results. We try to be like Jonah and go out there because of how we feel it and initiate certain things. When all we're supposed to do, preacher, you're a messenger. You're a wonderful messenger sent by God. But there's only so much that you can do. So give the message and get away from the rest. Warn the people. He said that. He said that. Watch me well tonight. Did you warn my people? Did you warn my people of the danger to come? He didn't say, did you go in their house and handcuff them to the beds and keep them from going out there? He said, did you warn them? And see, that warning to a wise and prudent person, that warning should be sufficient. If you tell me that it's raining outside and then I go out there unprotected, you did your job. You said, hey, if I were you, I wouldn't go out there. That's all we can do. So this quarantine and this sheltering in place that we're talking about, then that's for our own protection. It's something for our own protection. All right, now we're going to go over to Psalms 31, 19th and 20th verse. Say, how great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. Now, anybody that's been in the vineyard, they know that these conspiracy people, that they know that there are some people out there which do these things. They will kill you with their tongue. They will say things about you. They will say, okay, let me. It says, you hide them in the shelters, safe from those who conspire against you. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. Now, how many of us have been someplace totally different, but we were identified as being in a certain place at a certain time doing something that we weren't supposed to do, and we know that we didn't have nothing to do with that. Now, Isaiah 4, chapter 6, verse 8, it would be a shelter from daytime heat and a hiding place from storm and rain. Now, we're talking about hiding in God here. Talking about the safest place in the world right now is to be inside of the Lord, to let him quarantine us. Now we're going to go to Psalms 18, 35 and 36. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand supports me. Your gentleness makes me great. You make a wide path for me to walk on so that my feet do not sleep. Now, what better position is it than to have a security guard like that? Somebody that's going to help you navigate your way through the troubled and treacherous times that we're having now. So, as I say, shelter in place, wherever that might be, so that when this wrath passes over, we'll still be able to stand. My brothers and my sisters, this is a very urgent message that has been going out tonight, because there's so many people that don't even believe none of these things is going on. But just in case there is, just in case the news media is statistics, just in case there is blaming everything out there on Corona, just in case people ain't having heart attacks no more or strokes or cancer and Corona is taking over. But just in case these things are happening or not happening, it's best for us to put ourselves in a position that it won't happen to us. And by me saying that, don't let yourself be exposed to this. My nurse told me one day, hey, she said, believe it or not, your home is the safest place, because I will be bringing germs to your house. You know, if you're well in your house, just imagine if you're well in your house and then somebody comes to your house and you get sick, come from? Came from that individual that came to your house. So, Brother Brown, it looks like we might have to do a part two next week. But remember, shelter in place, and what are you running from? May God bless you and may ever keep you. I hope you keep these questions on your mind, because it's of great urgency that we stay. And I'm not saying this, speaking on behalf of the government, not speaking on behalf of the CDC, not on behalf of Dr. Fauci, but on behalf of you, behalf of God, so that we would know that this is real. We would know that his word says quarantine. Say, go into secret chambers and hide yourself. So I now turn it over to Brother Brown. Hope that this will have a benefit to some. May God bless and may ever keep you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Deacon Robert Cox, for that word on tonight. Just like you said, this word was meant to be on tonight for such a time as this, for such a time that we're living in. That was a right on time word. Someone needed to hear this word, because, like you said, some people, no matter what the news media say, no matter what the center of the disease control department say, some people don't believe that this virus is real. Some people actually believe what other people are saying to them, that don't believe this is real. But if you have lost a loved one from this coronavirus, if you have lost a loved one, if you have been sick yourself from this coronavirus, then you know without a doubt that it's real. So nobody has to tell you that it's real. So as we say that, we're going to continue to lift up the young man that I was speaking about earlier at the beginning of the broadcast on tonight. Has lost not one member, but not three members, but he has lost seven members of his family. Seven members. Can you imagine losing seven people in your family that you love from the coronavirus? And this young man has lost seven members of his family. So this virus is real. It's not a hoax. It's not fake news. It's real. So I thank you for bringing it down for us as to how the Lord was, like the description, how the blood was placed over the doorpost. That when that death angel came, when he saw the blood, that's the protection, the blood of Jesus, the death angel passed over. So that's what the Lord is telling us. Stay in place, shelter in place, because this virus is real. So we thank God for this word on tonight, and I pray that this word has been a blessing to the listeners, and that we know that it has not gone out void. It's going to accomplish everything that God set out for it to do on tonight, that he will be glorified through his word on tonight. So, yes, I touch and agree with you, Deacon Marvin Cox, that we need to have part two on next Saturday from Deacon Marvin Cox. Shelter in Place will be part two on next Saturday night. We're getting ready to close out for tonight. Please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you for your word that have come forth through Deacon Marvin Cox, through your Holy Spirit, to let us know that we need to shelter in place. We thank you for your word that lets us know that you are God and you are God alone. and you are still in control no matter what it looks like. You still have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. We thank you that there's nothing too hard or impossible for you to do. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word and your promise that let us know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So we thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the good of your works. We thank you that it will never lose its power. So this we give you glory. So that God loves you even more. So I look forward to you hearing part two of this message, the conclusion of the whole matter regarding this message titled Shelter in Place on next Saturday from Deacon Marvin Cox. Until next time, until next Thursday night, I should say, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Again, know that I love you, know that God loves you even more. Good night.